Trendstorm.
Our final topic, picked by you, dear listeners, other than a poll on our Facebook page, is Xi Jinping following in Mao's footsteps, focusing on the proposal to remove presidential term limits in China. China's government proposed removing the presidency's two-term limit, thus allowing incumbent Xi Jinping to conceivably remain the country's leader indefinitely, just like Mao was at one time. The announcement wasn't too much of a surprise for some observers who had predicted that something of the kind was in the works after President Xi didn't go through the traditional motions of indicating a possible successor during last year's National Congress of the Communist Party of China. This made many believe that he was planning a legal workaround to remain in office after his second term expires in 2023, breaking with a custom that's been in force for over 3 decades already since Chairman Mao's death. The predictable avalanche of condemnation from Western academics and China watchers soon followed, all of whom expectedly alleged that President Xi was breaking his party's democratic norms and striving to become a dictator. Moreover, they negatively compared him to Chairman Mao in this sense, hinting that the profound domestic challenges that China experienced during his premiership might repeat themselves in the future. On the other hand, more objective analysts pointed to Beijing's desire to ensure continuity at all levels of the state as the People's Republic begins to execute its world-changing One Belt, One Road global vision of new Silk Road connectivity that many believe will lay the physical groundwork for literally building the multipolar world order. China's move correlates with the trend of countries looking to strong leadership to confront the challenges of these uncertain times, though President Xi will undoubtedly have more power than his Russian, American, and Turkish peers if the Communist Party's plans come to pass. Another related impression that the proposal leaves is that it continues the centralization tendency within China, and the ruling party more specifically, which is why some people think that it's so controversial. Opponents fear that the country might lose its decision-making flexibility when it's needed the most, while proponents say that these steps actually free President Xi from being beholden to irrelevant political squabbling and backstage power games. All right, folks, everyone's talking about what's happening in China, and people aren't sure if this is a move for the better or for the worse. Is President Xi becoming a dictator, or is he freeing himself of unnecessary political pressure? So let's speak to two Chinese guests to get down to the bottom of this. The first one is Mr. Dong Chao. He's a political commentator from China.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Dongo, what do regular Chinese folks think about Xi Jinping thought being enshrined in the Constitution and now the man himself potentially becoming president for life?
Since you are asking about regular people, the truth is Chinese people in general are so indifferent to politics that only a few of them ever concern the significance of XJP thought. Such name at most can make a blip on the immense dimness of regular people's political awareness, let alone cause a sensation. Actually, strenuous effort has been made by Chinese mainstream media and a party member education to float and praise as XJP thought, but in effect it cannot penetrate regular people. The regular people's general indifference is not that Chinese people are cynical of party's governance. Actually, Chinese people genuinely don't care. After all, at a time when affluent life, well-paid job, quality education, and health care are guaranteed to more and more people, and the whole system is kind of immune to normal people's participation, it's difficult for regular people to bring themselves to care. This is in stark contrast to people from parliamentary democracy, where one party has to weaponize regular people, a.k.a. voters, by cranking out propaganda ammunition to defeat another party. It is fully manifested in the outlandish political landscape in U.S. now, where politics become enthralling TV show. And the news of proposal of two-term limit abolished from Constitution, again, has only caused a small ripple, to the best of my knowledge, in the public sphere. Frankly, it does stand as an kind of ominous reminder of some painful history of China. It will also have far-reaching influence on China's future. However, we have to bear in mind that we are talking about a president with a very high approval rate, and Chinese people inherently love strong man leader. Putin, for example, is another all-time star leader in the eyes of Chinese people. Last but not least, the recent announcement of the two-term limit removal from Constitution can be conceived as a stress test to probe Chinese people's tolerance to more authority, and it turns out the tolerance is immense.
Okay, Dong, this is very informative. So now I'm wondering, is it internal politics within the party, like how you were hinting that might have been behind this move, or external strategy vis-a-vis the Silk Road that's more greatly influencing President Xi's centralization of power in China?
I think it's the external strategy that is more greatly influencing that. For a lot of ardent Silk Road supporters, the potential of Xi re-elected is very reassuring news. First, brought up by Xi in September 2013, Silk Road is the signature of Xi in a great roadmap for China to follow in the future. Naturally, it can be easy target for his opponents to sabotage, to erode his success once he retired. In fact, the world cannot afford to see Silk Road delayed or aborted. U.S. is facing the greatest bubble in history, a debt bubble. Since the subprime crisis 2008, the total collapse of capitalism has never been so palpable. The top figures on Wall Street cried out that they could not see capitalism die on their watch. Then what about this time? Almost a decade of stagnancy has passed. The U.S. national debt has risen to over $2,000 trillion. The U.S. debt-to-GDP ratio is over 100%. How much time do we have before we establish an alternative model of economic global growth before the end game? Before the alternative model found, all countries, including China, will scramble to paper over the broken system till they can't. And there is no turning back then. We need someone with great vision to lead the country forward.
Okay, Dong, well, I mean, you're talking about great vision, and this instinctively makes me think about Chairman Mao. But Chairman Mao was more inward-looking, whereas President Xi is more global in his outlook. So, Dong, apart from that crucial difference, what constructive insight can be gained by comparing the two leaders?
Okay, you know, the two leaders are both prominent, but they are from different ages. I would say that both are great communists who apply their understanding of Marxism, Leninism to the concrete conditions of China for the time they lived in. Also, their policies were appropriate for the objective conditions China faced then and now. Mao was a pioneer and had to devise policies with little precedent to work with. XJP instead has the advantage of history so as to avoid many of the mistakes his predecessors made.
Dong, this was an enlightening look at how the average Chinese views this situation, as well as the possible reasons behind this move. It was also real interesting how you compare President Xi to Chairman Mao. So thanks a lot for doing that, and we appreciated your insight. Thanks again. Now, folks, we're going to hear what Mr. Bevin Chu has to say. Bevin is a former columnist on Sino-U.S. relations for LouRockwell.com and Antiwar.com, who is also the son of T.K. Chu, former vice ambassador from the Republic of China to Saudi Arabia.
Trendstorm.
Okay, Bevin, what was the strategic calculus that the government was relying upon when it proposed to eliminate presidential term limits? And do you think that this move will ultimately fulfill the party's expectations?
Well, I think to understand what this upcoming vote is about, it's actually not what many people, Western analysts, think it is. And the reason is that the president of the PRC is actually a figurehead position. The real power resides in the party chairman, and that's because the power wielded in the PRC is wielded by the Communist Party, the CPC. You know, critics of China like to say that China is a one-party state. And, of course, they mean that in a derogatory fashion. But factually speaking, it is true. It is a one-party state, and the party is what has the power, not the government. The government is subordinate to the party, and the president is subordinate to the party chairman. Of course, in fact, of course, they're the same person, but the actual power resides in the hands of the party chairman. What it is trying to do now is that the party chairman has no term limits and has no age limit. It's only the president that has a term limit and age limit. And what they're trying to do now is trying to get the two to match up a little better.
I see. Okay, well, what I'd like to ask you then, Bevin, is where would you stand in this debate over whether President Xi's centralization of power or, as you described it, I mean, trying to align the party premiership position and the presidency position, will this handicap China's decision-making flexibility, do you think? Or, Bevin, will it free it up to focus on larger topics of New Silk Road significance? What's your take?
That's an interesting question. I myself am a little ambivalent about it. On the one hand, right now, President Xi Jinping is attempting to implement a truly earth-shaking initiative, you know, the Belt and Road Initiative. And this is like an initiative that, not just of a decade, but of a century. I mean, this will affect not just China's future for the coming century, but the entire world, the future of the entire world of Eurasia and possibly even Latin America within the coming century. Having Xi retain control for an additional 5 years or maybe an additional 10 even might make it better, easier for him to follow through on what he has done so far. On the other hand, of course, there's the problem of whenever you make it possible for any particular leader to hold power longer, you delay the opportunity for a new leader to come in. Now, for example, a lot of people who favor Xi Jinping and think he's a great leader and a very effective leader, they need to think about, well, suppose the longer term limits have been implemented back when his predecessors were in power, when, say, a relatively mediocre leader like Jiang Zemin was in power. That would have delayed, suppose he had gotten 3 terms, that would have delayed Xi Jinping's acquiring the power by 5 years, or maybe 10 years. Maybe he would never have risen to power at all. So this is very hard to say.
Okay, well, Bevin, we have about 1 minute left, so I have to be real brief, and I just want to find out how relevant you think it is to compare President Xi to Chairman Mao, and whether you think that this is more of a criticism or a compliment in the general scheme of things. And we have about a minute left.
Well, the thing is this. The Western pundits are comparing him to Mao, and they're doing it from a very highly critical position. They're saying that Mao was a tyrant, which he was, and that if Xi is able to rule for the same length of time, he will rule in the same manner as Chairman Mao. But I don't believe that is true. First of all, Xi is, in terms of his personal character, different from Mao. Now, that is not something you can count on when you have a benevolent dictatorship, because who knows what the character of the next benevolent dictator will be. He may be a malevolent dictator. The difference is actually structural. Nowadays, as I mentioned before, China is ruled by the Communist Party, and at the top of the Communist, at the head of the Communist, Communist Party is the Politburo Standing Committee, and that is not one man, but that is currently, it's anywhere from 5 to 9 individuals. Currently, it happens to be 7 members. And the fact is that Xi Jinping is not free to do whatever he wills. He has to answer to the other seven, the other six members of the Politburo Standing Committee. His hands are tied. The idea that she could be a Mao-type individual despot is a fallacy. But right now, the PRC is ruled by a committee of seven. So there are checks and balances there.
Alrighty, Bevan, thanks for sharing your intriguing perspective on this potential move. It was very insightful for us to hear a deep analysis presented from that angle. So thanks again for coming on to Trendstorm. We really appreciated your contribution today.
Trendstorm.
Alrighty, folks, if we think back on what both Dong and Bevan shared with us today, we can see that undoubtedly, for sure, this is a centralization move. But there is a bit of a diversity of opinions about whether it's for the better or for the worse. On the one hand, Dong believes that this is externally motivated and that President Xi is trying to focus more on the new Silk Road. Now, on the other hand, Bevan made some very good points that, well, while President Xi is president, after all, there is a type of political committee ruling the Communist Party, and President Xi is but one individual in this larger group. So there might be other factors at play here. I think that overall, we're going to have to see what's happening, but my sense is that this is a move for the better. This is what China needs. It does contrast with Western democratic standards, but after all, they're Western democratic standards. They're not Chinese standards throughout the millennia. So I think this is a move for the better, but only time will tell. Alrighty, folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. And with this, we end this week's edition of Trendstorm, brought to you by Radio Sputnik. It was presented by me, Andrew Kripko. Thank you for listening, and take care.